I really wanted tonight to preach on how to have a peachy wife. And tell you that the way you can have a peachy wife is to peach her. Peach her. Get it? Poor effort at humor, I know. But I do it in honor of my wife, who might think that's a little bit funny, except the pinching part. But also in light of the peaches that we put up last night, delicious. Oh, my lands. Good. I cut up about two or three peaches, and already the juices were running down my elbows. Not my hands, down my elbows. They were good and good. And they were so good that you kind of make a certain sound when you eat a piece of it. It's like, You have to kind of suck as you eat it because all the juices. You know what? Sandy knows what I'm talking about. She got a bunch. So I tell you what, if you didn't get in on that deal, you need to see Brother Paul for next year and the next go around. And because, I don't know what they've got in Colorado. That place didn't look like much up there when I was around that part of the country. But they must have some good stuff in the soil because they make some good peaches. And I think it's tree ripened. I think that's one of the key things. I've heard people say if you have a tree ripened apple, you'll never want any other fruit in your life, you know. Maybe I've never had one. I have had some tree ripe oranges and tangerines and things like that, you know, from Florida. It's always better, you know, like that. But those Palisade peaches, man, yummy, yummy. So Miss Dory, she had put them, make an eggs on it, put them in a hot pot and put them in a cold pot and then skin them. I just cut them up, throw them in the bag. And man alive, it's good eating, I tell you. I eat all I can and looking to sell the rest, you know, kidding. But that would been an interesting lesson, how to have a peachy wife. Maybe another time. Train up a child in the way he should go. That's our target for tonight. In Proverbs 22, beginning in verse 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. That's not only our good name, but the good name of our children. In loving favor rather than silver and gold. I'll be dealing with materialism just a little while. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil. And there's a lot of evil in this world. And he hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. They may even get rich, but they're yet punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. There's the goal for all of us. Humility, fear of the Lord, riches, honor, and life. Because of that, thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Remember, the teaching of wisdom is to stay far from. Right. Then, of course, the target of our study tonight: train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I tried to put a little thought into this, and tonight we're going to have a little bit of discussion as well, a little exercise. But I know this, training up children is not for the faint-hearted or the fearful. Because you're going to get bumps. Just the other day, the children will fall down and they'll bust this and bust that, they'll cut this and cut that. And they're just going to have a lot of accidents, all right? It's just what you're going to have to deal with. And the accidents can be kind of cute, like when Brother Colt crawling across the floor. He was a fast crawler, and we were laughing there sitting in our chairs. So he was crawling across the floor chasing a cricket. Well, unfortunately, he caught the cricket and set up on his bottom, pop right up in his mouth, and it went down the pipes. Before I could tell Dory, get it. Before we could either one of us get to him to get it, he got it. Well, then you have the little ones, just like the grandbabies the other day, you know, fall on the concrete and they scratch their knee and you got to go get a Band-Aid and you're concerned about them. There's going to be a lot of ups and downs and of children especially, and then through the adolescent years, you're going to have continually more. So training up children is not for the faint of heart, and it's not for the fearful. Something I think is going to be tried is your patience is going to be tried. I mentioned that the other night. Your patience is going to be tried. Just in just a few days' excursion, which we had with the grandbabies, I was thinking, you know, Gatlin is so cute, he could never get on your nerves. Oh, yes, he can. Yes, he can. He's got such a high-pitched voice. He reminds me of the neighborhood kid that used to live about 4 miles down the road. And he'd get out in the backyard, you could hear him 4 miles. Well, it really wasn't 4 miles. It was about four houses down. But you could hear his voice. It would carry. It would carry just miles, it seems. And he'd be outside just talking. But his talking voice sounded like a squealing pig. And it was just something that you're going to hear whether you want to hear it or not. And when Gatlin finally gets comfortable, he starts talking. And he starts talking a lot. And he can't get him to shut up. And he just keeps going on and on and on. Well, you thought Clayton was a little bit of a test. Gatlin's voice puts him right up there, you know. So I tell you, it's going to take a lot of patience. And you finally think, you know, I wanted to hear that boy speak. And I've heard him speak now. Trust me, I've heard him speak. So your patience is certainly going to be tried. And then I told you about Clayton's, his best word is why. Why. And it goes on and on. Your finances are going to be strained, raising children. If you think it's a cheap endeavor, you are wrong. It's not a cheap endeavor, and that's without the sports. They get up in the sports. I was really shocked. I was talking to my sister when they were out here, and we were talking about, you know, how the things have changed since we played ball. And we'd play ball, and we'd have a big barbecue cookout, and that's how we would pay for our uniforms, with the big opening day barbecue. And that's how everybody paid for the uniforms. And uniforms were cheap, you know, then. And, you know, people didn't have their own bat, and they didn't have their own helmet. You know, the coach would keep a bag of bats and helmets in the trunk of his car on the back of his pickup truck. And, you know, if you say, well, did the helmets fit? No, not most of the time. And it was bad if you swung your bat and then you were looking at the backside of the helmet. But you could actually do that in our day, all right? By the time my nephews and all came along, that one of them wanted to play on the golf team. I don't know why they have a golf team in Callahan, Florida. Anyway, too much of rednecks in there. They don't have to play golf. But just to buy the, not the clubs. You're supposed to already have, buy the equipment. They have to have matching bags and all that kind of stuff. Just to get started was over $2,000. Just to get started. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm out already. If I had to pay that, if my parents had to pay that, I mean, that'd have been a whole lot of coon dog puppies, I'll tell you what. And there's just no way. We'd just been out and left out. And I feel sorry for all the kids, even today, that would be left out of many activities simply because of the cost. But your finances are going to be tried. They're going to be tried. And then here comes braces and everything else that comes along with that. But you're going to have a lot of difficulties and trials and all with your finances. Your mind is going to get perplexed because you're going to lose a lot of sleep. And you have kids, you know, they whimper and you wake up. And one of the wisest things you do is move them out. Move them out of the bedroom. And then they have to reach a certain volume before they get your attention, you know. And you say, well, how cruel? Well, after the third one, you'll figure it out. That's not so cruel after all. I see some nodding heads along with that. But the mind is going to be perplexed. There's going to be a lot of mental anguish with things. And there's going to be a lot of exertion on your body. Now, when the kids were little, our kids were little, it was nothing for us to get down in the floor with them. Now it's kind of a big thing. And it's not so bad getting down. It's the getting back up. after you're all the way down. I mean all the way to in the floor. And so you look for those low rider seats at Christmas time that you can kind of get halfway without having to go all the way. And so you can kind of get down on their level and enjoy all of that without having to get down there and suffer leg cramps and everything else, you know, that go along with it. But that's some of the difficulties that you'll face with raising kids. But if you are so blessed by God to have children, if indeed you are, and if you have children, you are blessed of God. But if you're blessed of God to have children, you're going to have a fuller life than if you didn't. You're going to have a fuller life. And more so than you could ever imagine. My dad told my brother, Jamie, who always said he never wanted to have children. So Jamie, if you think like that, you're going to be missing a lot. Because children have a way of filling your life. And they do. There's no question about that, and I'm not going to say anything different than that. You will have many more people very near and dear to you to share your love and your affection with and to. Now, we ought to be affectionate. We ought to love all kinds of people, especially the people in the family of God. But I tell you, I love dogs. I like some cats, but I love dogs. But there's not a puppy dog in all the world that I ever had that compares to a human being, to a baby. Not even close. You will also have souls under your care as no other souls would be under your care. And you'll have an awesome responsibility to help mold their lives like no other. And the process of and the responsibility of doing that will make you a better person for it. Okay? It's sort of like when people start teaching the Bible, you know, to other Sunday school, whatever, they find out they grow more than everybody else because of the wonderful privilege. You will have more laughs than others because there are so many funny things that happen in families. And the things that kids say is so funny, you know, and they don't even have to be trying to be funny. And they're still funny, very funny. It's some of the best humor in all the world. You'll have more warmth in your home and more hugs than others will know about. You'll have more memories that'll be made that will warm you as you older and keep your heart and mind full of these memories. One of the best things I ever think ever purchased is after I talked to Brother Daniel about this, because Miss Story had this little slide thing, and it's electronic, and it just goes from picture to picture to picture. Because, you know, most of the pictures I've ever taken or somebody ever took in my life, they're stuck away in some book somewhere or in a shoebox, more often a shoebox. That's what it was years ago. Y'all may have CDs and all this other. We had shoebox. And you'd have to dig through all of that stuff to find one that you might be interested in. Well, today they had things, they started putting them all on CDs and things like that. And now you can put them, they just rotate, you know, on this little screen thing. And it's like the old screensavers, they just keep changing. Well, I noticed that was kind of neat, but you have to kind of be pretty close, especially as you get a little older. You have to kind of be pretty close to be able to see them. It's about like that. And so it was it's not quite as good, so we're in Texas, so bigger is better. So I talked to Brother Daniel about that and figured out what I could do for a big present for Miss Dory for Christmas time. And she put a frame around it and everything. And now I can see it. It's in the living room area, but I can see it all the way from my bed if the doors are open, the bedroom doors open. I can see it all the way out there. And it's just things that just bring back all kinds of memories and episodes and visits and trips and things and birthday parties and activities and church things. And it just floods your life with memories. You will also have the trust of a soul, which is one of the greatest responsibilities we could ever have and privileges we could ever have. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Now, we're not training a child to remain a child. That's a big problem. That's a big problem today. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Absalom was a grown child. David was not a good model as a disciplinarian. He wasn't. He blew it. And he paid big for it. He paid big for it. Children are expected to grow up and become adults. Not overnight. That's the second point. But we're not training a child to remain a child. And that's what's happened today with so many Americans. They may be 40 years old, but they're still a child. They've never grown up. They still act like a child. They still think like a child. All right? But when I became a man, the Bible says we put away childish things. Now, we are training, the second point, a child. You're not training an adult that happens to be in a little body. We're actually training up a little one. And that first has to be established, because before you can be a good teacher, you've got to acknowledge what is the age and what is the development of that child at that time. You don't teach a 30-year-old man and a 5-year-old boy the same way. You just don't go about it the same way, same methodology. So they are, in fact, children. Now, I find that men get a little bit more confused about thinking the children are older than they are. In other words, kind of expecting little guys to start acting like big guys earlier, maybe, than the mamas think. And the mamas, their fault, if found, is usually on the other end, wanting the baby to stay their baby and not wanting the children to grow up. All right, just a personal acknowledgement. Solomon had his, there's mine. Men, if they err with being a little rough on the little ones, because they want the little ones not to say little ones. They want those little ones to grow up and be a man. Right? And we say things like that. Oh, suck it up and be a man. Well, he's 4 years old. You know, right? I mean, I've said the same thing. Women, on the other hand, if they err, they will more often err on that other, on the other extreme. But they are, in fact, children. Now, some especially throw you a curve when they're 2 and they look like they're 5. I mean, they're bigger, you know, than most. And so they just look bigger. I mean, Bowen already, to me, looks like a toddler in his face. And if you think that's impressive, you ought to see a spit up. But we are training children, but we're training children to be a healthy, wise, productive Christian adult and family member. That's what we're after. That's the goal. We are raising up God's godly seed. That's what we should be doing. We should be raising up God's godly seed. Now, we're not raising children up to be successful. A lot of people are just, well, after success. Well, they may be successful. They may be successful infidel. A hooligan. A heathen. A vagabond. But they're successful. And we're proud of their success. Why would you be proud of somebody becoming a heathen? No. We're trying to train up a child in the way they should go. And the way that she goes with the Lord. Now, flip over to Ephesians 6 real quick. Obviously, from the biblical record, the most prominent teachers for a child are and are to be their father and mother. Their father and the mother. Now, we know from the scripture, the father is the head of the home, as Christ is the head of the church. Yet the father and mother have the responsibility before God, both, to raise up the children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, right? Both. In Ephesians 6, 1, children, obey your parent in the Lord. Is that what it says? No, that's not what it says. It says, children, obey your parents. Parents in the Lord. So God expects in that normal Christian home with a mommy and daddy that the mommy and daddy have both that relationship with the children. Not just the mommy or not the daddy. More often than not, these days it would be just the mommy and not the daddy. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's almost like, well, we have to go down to romper room time to make sure we get this straight, because he says, for this is right. It's right. Do this. Then honor to the children thy father and mother. So the relationship is not one or the other, it's to both. Which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Now I think that's another element that is a little bit more of a temptation for us men. I'm tired of this, you know, and be too rough. And I know that I can do that. I certainly can. And it's not only the kids. I was talking to Brother Stephen Giordano the other day, and I was remembering, you know, he's such a perfectionist on so many things. And I was over at his house over here in Murphy, just a beautiful desk, you know, just got all this high class stuff, you know, beautiful, immaculate office. And I was talking about, you're going to be working with imperfect people, and by the way, you are imperfect yourself. Oh yeah, I know, you know, all of that. So I reached over at this just beautiful, immaculate, walnut probably desk. I wouldn't want to buy it. I wouldn't want to rent it. And I leaned over that desk and I just did like that. And I left my greasy fingerprints on his desk. You know, now I wasn't eating chicken fried chicken or something like that, you know, but you don't have to. I mean, it's perfect. You can see your reflection. And I just did like that. And there they were. Five fingers. Or I know, four fingers and a thumb. I get it. But there's my fingers, right, prints right there. And he said, oh, okay. All right. I'm good. Said, I'll be back next week to see if they're still there. He said, He's flabbergasted. He's like, you're a hard man. You're a hard man. Hey, so I get it. You know, but I knew he's going to have a hard job. I know that. He's going to have a hard job. And it's going to be much harder than anything he ever did in combat as an army sniper. And I know that. So that's what I'm training him for. Okay? So I knew that I got to make some points here. I've got to instruct in ways that he's going to understand. And it's not going to be the easy road. You're going to have to really suck it up. And you're going to be dealing with people who are very imperfect. Now, what are you going to do about it? You're going to have to learn to live with that. It's a hard lesson. You say, not a hard lesson for you. I got stuff. You know, I wasn't teaching you. I was teaching him. Leave it there for a week. You're a hard man. So men have a tendency to be on the hard side. The women have a tendency to get in the way of any hard lessons. Y'all act like y'all are scared to death what I might say up here tonight. I want you to know, everything's going to be all right. In heaven, everything's going to be all right. Now, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, not our own admonition, but admonition of the Lord. So again, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Now let me caution everyone here, and I encourage you to pass this around, of what I believe is a very heretical view and understanding of this verse, and is actually taught by some, few, but it's taught, to look at the talents, the customized character, behavior, interest, and whatever of the kids, and train them up according to their talents. In other words, what best, sort of like the, what do we used to call them? We had them in school. They called them, where they kind of teach you what vocations to go into. They called them certain counselors, guidance counselors. And they tell you, you know, you go in there, you have an interest in this, the other. So they guidance counselors. Just kind of find out what you're interested in and then go for that. All right, so that's the idea, interpretation. Train them up in the way that they should go, that individual. Not necessarily the way everybody should go, but just the way that they go. That's the interpretation. I think that's heretical. totally heretical. Frankly, I see it as another form of humanism. If everybody's doing that, then everybody's living whatever's right in their own eyes. And that leads to total anarchy and corruption. Humanism rejected and should be rejected by all discerning Christians. Does this fact deny the differences of children? Are they in fact different? Yes, I just pointed out some difference between Clayton and Gatlin. They're different. They're different. All four of ours, they were each different. So it doesn't deny the differences or the different interests, whatever, of the children. Not at all. Yet the focus is not on the child, but the training up, and that standard of what to train them up towards or to is the Word of God. So it's a hard and fast point of reference that we are to be training to, not making it up as dependent upon the makeup of the child, but steering and bending the child to the things of God. There's a huge difference between those two. One is kind of the live and let live, just to let them become whatever, you know, they like to do, and then they'll do the best at that. Well, what if that's running a bar? What if that's other things? Well, that's the best that they do. They're really good at that. Well, you can be really good at sin and corruption. Well, let me prove it to you from Psalm 119, verse 9. A second letter here, Beth. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Not living according to your own personal whim or the character whims of that individual child. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me not my customized statutes, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy law. That ought to be enough right there to throw out that heretical point of interpretation that some would have. This would suggest, oh, you just need to kind of customize it for each and every child. That's utter foolishness. Utter foolishness. There's nothing in the scriptures that would suggest such a thing. Train up a child in the way he would go, in the way he should go. When he is old, he'll not depart from it. Now, the general meaning of the Hebrew is this. Initiate the child at the opening of the way of life. Initiate the child at the opening of the way of life. Initiation. At the opening, the beginning of their life. And I thought about this. Introductions are important. Introductions are important. You want to get to know somebody? Introduce them. Well, when's the best time to introduce them? When you first meet them. Hello, my name is so-and-so. This is, you know, I was introducing, you know, the guys to a couple of builders, and I introduce them. I want you to know this here is Gabe, and this here is Colin, and what's their relation to me? And, you know, that it's one of the best things you can do is introductions are best done early, and they're very important. Well, how do parents introduce children to the Lord? They're going to get to know you whether you want them to or not. They're going to get to know you. Now I want some participation here tonight. What worked well for you in your home to introduce your children to Jesus? I want you to think about it, and I want you to participate with me a little bit here tonight. So I'm going to ask you to respond in a minute or two about what you did. But let me offer you some things just to kind of get everything primed, maybe some things to get started, some things I know that we've done through the years, and even as a church tried to facilitate these things. One, give them a Bible. You want to do a little New Testament? Give them a Bible. Tell them very early on that Jesus loves them. You know, if you knew how many people in this world feel like no one loves me, no one loves me. And how many kids go to bed at night knowing not even their mom and daddy love them? Nobody loves me. Well, that's just simply not true. Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world. Now, that's a biblical fact. Jesus loves children. So teach them that Jesus loves them. Never let them doubt, even when they do bad, do wrong, that Jesus still loves them. He always will love them. Read Bible stories to them. Read Bible stories to them. Children's stories, you know, may be abbreviated, may be a little simple, you know, depending on the child educational level, but read those Bible stories to them and read the scripture to them. Pray with them. Pray with them. And pray in their language. God bless mommy and daddy, brother and sister. Help us to do good. Help us sleep good. Help us not to hit our brother. You know, pray with them. Say the name of Jesus often in your conversations. Say the name of God, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus wouldn't be happy with that. Jesus, that makes Jesus so happy. That makes Jesus so happy. How about pictures? Pictures help. You know, one of the most profound, here it popped again. One of the most profound, there's a pop, it was popping a while ago, it was up there with Stephanie. One of the most profound pictures that I remember as a child is two children being led across the bridge in a stormy night with an angel protecting them. Have you ever seen that? You're nodding your head. Ever seen that? And another one that I remember, and I saw it again in older years. I didn't see this one as often. It's just the sketching of Jesus with a little lamb. You know, and the cross is always a sober kind of a hit. Whoa, this is big stuff. You know, this is kind of adult stuff here. I'm not so sure I quite understand this, but I knew what it was like to, as a little one, to be scared. Thunder, lightning. We had some big storms in Florida, and I'd get scared. And I'd like to know that I have somebody watching over me. Pictures. How about singing? My wife has a beautiful singing voice. Hers has stayed pretty. Mine's gone south. And she's still singing so much to the kids and the grandkids. Singing songs about Jesus. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells. Just songs that just exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell them that Jesus sees all things and He wants them to be good. He wants them to do their very best. Tell them that Christians want to obey Jesus, that we want to do what Jesus wants us to do. How about take them to church? Not send them to church, take them to church. Some may suggest, well, they're not saved. Well, not yet, but you want them to be saved, so take them to church. Now you say, why do you say that? Well, some might think, well, how do I know if they are elect or not? Well, that would follow their logic. It's not my doctrine, it's theirs. How do I know if they're elect or not? Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see before I invite my kids to church. You know how silly that is? It's certainly uninformed. I would say, just like you want others to become Christians, and so you invite them to church. You want your kids to go to church. And you want them to hear about Jesus. If you want your own children to become Christians, you don't say, oh, church is not for you until you get saved. So why do you say that? It's a silly notion, because that silly notion is out there now. And I think it comes basically from the homeschool movement. That church is only for Christians. That non-Christians shouldn't go to church and shouldn't be invited to go to church. Huh. Well, you probably wouldn't even be saved today if nobody invited non-Christians to church. I wouldn't be, and I wouldn't be your preacher. You better rethink some of those faulty, silly notions that come our way. So I would also say, here a couple more, let them see Jesus in you as parents. Let them see the hands, the feet, the mouth of Jesus in your home. How about, thought about this, and I just wrote it down a minute ago. Get them with other good families with children who are wanting to please Jesus. All right, so now, your turn. Your turn. You said you covered everything. Oh, no, no, I haven't either. All right, so, all right, who wants to go first? Brother James? Thanking God for our food. That's a good one. How did I miss that one? You know, and it could be just like what we did when I was little. God is great. God is good. Let us thank you for, our food. By His hands we are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. Amen. So we pray. Very good, James. Very good. Who else? Come on, Brother Rick. Church comes first. God, in other words, God comes first in obedience to God's word. Okay, come on. Who else? Come on. Give me something. Don't act like you have nothing to offer. You have plenty to offer. Courtney, fire off. You moved your hand. That's good enough. What have you found? You're raising them right now. What have you found helps? Gatlin, I could hear his voice. He said something. See him? Huh? Pray with him before bedtime. All right, good. Okay, Tony? Bible memory. I know we went through like the A is for all sin, and believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, depart from evil, and do good. You know, with the alphabet. That was a really good one. Really good one. Okay, what else? Okay, Brother Daniel? Making them more comfortable with Jesus. Okay. The image, what they would convey in their mind. All right, good. Ms. Tyler? I'm sorry, Ken Harling. Letting them see you reading your own Bible. In other words, seeing your testimony. Okay, good. What else? Okay, Dory? Hymnology, in other words, you know, teaching them the understanding of biblical hymns. You know, just as I am is a biblical hymn. Okay, many of the great hymns, they offer a lot in doctrine, a lot. It's one of the reasons why we maintain that. Okay, good. Yes, ma'am.
We're thankful for God.
We're thankful for God. That's good. And that's what we want to do. All right, what else? Okay. Okay, be specific in your prayer life to them. And that way, you know, you can share with them how God answered a specific prayer as well. Because we have the tendency to kind of be generic, hoping we kind of let God off the hook if it doesn't go quite our way, you know, because we're going to have difficulty with that nuanced answer to a child, and they're thinking, why? And sometimes we don't have the best of answers to that, so we kind of crawfish away from those specifics, but we also, what do we sacrifice when we do so? Good. Okay. Josiah, you got something on your mind?
The Bible's
a special book. This is a special book. All right. B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me, right? Teach that song. All right. Who else? Come on. All right, Mr. Dan.
Teaching, especially your grandchildren, the promises of God.
Oh, journal. Teaching your the grandchildren the promises of God. What God, just basically what God's promised for us. Okay, good. Come on. All right. Who over here? So we'll spread it around over here. Hey, Zeus, what you got? Oh, if you did something wrong, you know, even towards them, or maybe you wrongfully spanked a child. I've done that, you know, to work and make that right to them. Right. Yeah, the daddy's not perfect. God is. That's why we worship God, right? Good, good. All right. Becca, you want to offer something? Sure. All right, come on. You can offer something. Come on. All right, Brother Mike.
God has feelings as well.
You don't grieve God. We want to make God happy. We don't want to grieve God. Let's teach him. All right, Russ, Andrew, you got to have something in your mind.
You
always do.
When you talk about or you're explaining Bible stories or using visuals, but if you have the Word of God in your hand and you tell them this really happened, and because so many of the stories that we read them are all pretend and could never happen, or cartoons or whatever, so we need them.
That's interesting. Yeah. Showing the validity of the stories. You know, I won a man to the Lord in Garland, Texas, who thought the story of David and Goliath was a fairy tale. He didn't realize those were real events. They did take place. Good. That's good. Okay. All right, Brother John, you got something in your mind? Well, but you're looking back now, just so we can all contribute to this. Okay, you're taking them to church.
All four of the grandkids got saved and baptized in Palestine because they came to visit us, and I got to baptize the granddaughter, Amanda.
Amen. All right. Good. That's good. That's good. All right, what else? You got something else? Okay, Doris got another one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just smart it off to their mommy. One of the greatest heresies that's going around is judge not lest you be judged. And so they have a whole population that says, oh, I'm not one to judge. You know, so you get some ball player who says, me and my girlfriend shack up, then become wife, Miss Little Barbie. We were drawn together because of our morals. What morals? You're a drunken fool. Okay, but that's what you get with this duality of judge not, lest ye be judged. Okay, Sherry? So they're understanding that it doesn't end with you. That it's just, that's more like a conduit. Would that be a good word? A conduit, that we are a conduit, that we're trying to train you unto the Lord. And it's important as we feel that way that we're trying to instill that in you. I know you heard me talk to your mama like that, or, you know, talk to your daddy like that. Okay, that's good. Okay, good. These are good things. All right, Brother Daniel.
Yeah.
Yes, they do. Good. Including them in ministry. That's another one. How did I miss that one? Mentioned it the other day, but including them in ministry. That's great. Man, y'all got to write all these down for me. All right? All right. Let's move on. As soon as a child can start understanding, we should be introducing them to the Lord. A child starts that path of life when they are a baby, not when they're 15, but when they're a baby. So that's when the training starts. As a matter of fact, I've known several good, solid Christian parents that start even earlier than that, even when the baby is still in the mommy's womb. They're already reading the Bible and singing Bible songs to their baby. I guarantee you, I know this, baby know the voice of their mom and daddy. They may not understand the sounds, but they know the voice. I tell you that, they absolutely know the voice and the smell of their mommy, and maybe their daddy. All right, now, let me give you some points here. Number one, understand in training up a child the way she go, there are no secret potions. There are no fantastic pills, like a magic bean that you can give. So we homeschooled our kids. I'm a fan of homeschool. Miss Dory taught in a Christian school. I'm a fan of Christian schools as long as they stay Christian school. Sometimes the public schools seem to have more Christian influence than some of the Christian schools have today. We've gone to public school concerts that they had Christian songs sang at the concert, and gone to a Christian school and it sounded like the most secular thing you've ever been in your life. So it's not one size, just don't want you to think one size fits all. And there's just some, if I just do this, everything's going to be fine. No, not likely. It leads you to a false sense of security. The parenting job is not to see the parents as the ultimate authority. I think that's what Sherry was getting at. But rather God. God is the ultimate authority. God is the ultimate model, like Brother Jesus is saying. So our goal is to raise up a child unto God, not raising them up to ourselves. So dedicate your child to God. We got the lesson of Hannah, how to dedicate your child to the Lord. Follow that path. Number three, show him, teach him his duties. Duty is a good word. We have duties that we should be performing. Show him his duties. Duties are healthy to know and healthy to fulfill. You want them to be prepared for the life experiences which are now presently pressing upon them, but not only that, but preparing them for the future things that they're going to have to face later in their life. So teach boys that there are man's duties, distinctly male man's duties. Teach girls that there are girls' duties and a list. And be sure to include in those duties marriage matters. Marriage matters. Prepare their life. I believe a lot less counseling would be needed if parents would be faithful to God's word and convey the rightful duties of a husband or rightful duties for a wife in their future homes. For husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church, and for the wives see that she reverences her husband, doing him good and not evil all the day. So submission, love, caring for one another, heirs together of the grace of life, a togetherness. I taught one whole lesson one day on all the togethers of the Scripture. Trust. Here's a big one. Forgiveness. Forgiving one another. Christ has forgiven us. Show him, and I'm using him, but to show them, dangers. Point out the dangers. There are some places you just don't want to be. There are some places you don't want to be after dark. Right? That's danger. Stranger danger. Wade was running up to me, you know, back there in the back, is running up to that cabin, and I said, "Come on, run, man!" He's running fast, boy. He's running fast, and all of a sudden he saw those two men down there, strangers. Man, he stopped on a dime, and he wasn't going any further. And he clammed up. He was all smiles, and here he comes, locked his heels. He wasn't going an inch further without his mama, and she had to kind of pull him along to get him to come on up there. Dangers in the world. Materialism. Humanism. Evolution. Communism. What's going on in New York? Communism. They're about to elect a communist for their mayor. One of the largest cities in the world, right here in the United States. False doctrine, heretical groups. How about bad friends? How about wanting money, 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 money? Love money is the root of all evil. Dangerous, dangerous. Number five, show him how to secure the true blessings of God with the life before him in God's time. Not all blessings come real quick. Some of them are kind of slow to come. Obedience is always the right policy. As God warned Israel again and again, do right and blessings will come. Do wrong and you curse yourself. So warn him. Number five, show him how to secure the true blessings of God. I already said five. Number six, show him and lead him in the practice of doing right as a watch care over their lives. And all the time trying to impress these qualities upon them to make the qualities indelible. In other words, that they're not easily washed off. All right, it's like permanent ink, not easily washed off. Far better to have, in my mind, I know everybody has kind of on take of this, how much rope to give out, you know what I mean? But far better to have a little wiggle room for failure when you have parents watching over the children to help them navigate in the failure or after the failure, to learn from the failure and how to pick yourself up and get going again, than have a parent to just hands off, or the parents who never will allow their kids to get a skint knee. Now, I will tell you, somewhere in the middle there is where we need to be. Is that fair enough? Is that honest enough? All right. Now, where that line would fall, I think you have to pray over that and ask for God's wisdom. You have to consider your family history, your past, your family's influences, where you came from. You might have a cultural influence that you need to face down. And it's something that you're going to have to consider with each child and try to keep the continuity of that steadfast standard in your family while at the same time working with each child and their own struggles. And it's not easy, but parenting has never been easy. Pray and beg God for His blessings on your child. Just keep praying. Just keep praying. And I would say never give up. I told you a story about my own wayward oldest brother. And he was, listen, as a child, he was my hero. It's amazing that God led me to this life. Because I wanted to be like Mike. Not that Mike, my Mike. I wanted to be like him. And he was great with animals. He's great with kids. He just wasn't great with people. And that was a big problem. And my parents had to come down hard. Matter of fact, I was in jail one time, and I was visiting a church member in jail through the plexiglass. And, I mean, the plexiglass has all kinds of foul things, and I hope you never have to see this stuff. And right there's a mama and two little ones coming to visit their daddy or whoever he was. And they were playing and giggling and carrying on. And when I got back in the truck and I headed back to Garland, it was many years ago now, I called Mama Daddy up because Mama said, get Daddy on the phone. I want to talk to you both. And I said, I know years ago when y'all cut us off from Mike, they cut the children off from Mike. Mike was in prison at this time. So they cut us off. We didn't like it, but Daddy made that decision. And I said, I just want you to know, you make the right call. Because what I just saw, they think that's normal. Those children think that's normal. And that's not normal. And I want you to know, I know that had to be a miserably hard decision. And Mama was crying, Daddy was crying. Mama said, that was your daddy's decision. I didn't want to do it. But Daddy's the boss. And I decided he must know what God wants him to do. Because it was a hard decision. And listen, you raise kids, there could be some hard, hard, hard decisions that you have to make. But in my mind, they made the right call. And years later, I saw the wisdom in that decision. And you say, well, that's not my line. Well, you have to draw that line when you get to it. And I pray you never have to get to it. And number eight, be a proper example yourself. Be a proper example yourself. Because our walk talks much louder than our talk talks. And I would say, it's sort of like old Fonzie, never wanted to admit he was wrong, Fonzarelli, on Happy Days. I would absolutely agree with Jesus. Be honest with your kids and tell them when you did something that especially they know about. I'm not saying just, go into your kids and just tell them all the wrongs you've ever done. I think that's unwise. There may come time in their adult life if they're struggling with certain things that you might tell more. One of the things I know, a lot of kids think, my mom and daddy told me everything. Well, you're an idiot if you think your mom and daddy have told you everything. There's not a loving mom and daddy in this world who would tell their kids everything. But there might come an occasion that you feel like you need to tell them more. Okay. But be a proper example yourself. Control yourself, lest you destroy your own seed. Control your own self, lest you destroy your own seed. Of course, walk in the Spirit, you not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And by the way, bring them to the house of God. Point them to proper and good healthy models. There are other good healthy models. And by the way, these good models, once you find them, they will be pointing your children back to you. Why? Well, they have the admonition of the Scripture to do so. Malachi chapter 4, verse 6 says, he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest they come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, there's a lot of recipe in all of that, and that still just scratches the surface, because it's not, raising children is not for the faint at heart. And by the way, if you have not had that privilege, don't think that you don't have something to offer. You do, because you've seen, you've witnessed, you've read the Scripture. You know what we are all supposed to be doing as Christians. And so let's just pray for one another, help each one another, forbear one another, forgive one another, because not one of us is God. Not one of us is God. And we need to be helping and encouraging one another just to do better. And if nothing else, like I shared the other day, to give better than what we got. Amen. To give better than what we got. I thank God for what I got. And I gave, by God's grace, we gave better than what we got. We did. And our children, praise the Lord, are giving better than what they got. And I think that's a good path. I really do. And God bless us to make some good headway in our journeys. Let's stand.